Okay.
Okay, good morning. This week we are learning Masechet Sukkah, Daf Lamed Dalet. The weekly shiur for Masechet Sukkah is sponsored by Yitzway CPA. Branch out in a new direction this next tax season. And the breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch, Le'ilay Nishmas, Pegel Aschayim, and Shimon Ben Zev. We are in Perek Lulav HaGazel, and we are literally going through each of the Dalet Minim. We started off Lulav HaGazel with Lulav. Obviously, we learned that for the first few blot. We then discussed the details of Hadassim. Last week, starting off on the Mishnah Lamed Beis, we had the discussion of Hadassim. Last week, that led us into the discussion about Dichui, Eitzel Mitzvos, if your Hadass wasn't good when it began, but then it became better because you knocked off the berries, etc. And this week, we are going to be discussing the Aravos, the Mishnah on Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. Starts off talking about the details of the Arava. A lot of these things are repetition from like the same halachos about guzzle doesn't work for Arava either. You know, shocker, like it wasn't good for any of the other ones. Barashi points out with you that we list each of the minim gets its own Mishnah because each one has like one detail that's unique to it that wouldn't have applied to the other ones. Like the Hadassim had the unique halacha about berries, which is obviously not shaykh to Aravos. And Aravos also have their own unique halacha that makes it require its own Mishnah. So let's get started on Amid Gimel Amid Beis. The Mishnah, Arava Gezula, a stolen Arava. Arava is a willow branch that would, if it's stolen, or Yevesha, if it's dried out, that is Pesula, as we said. Gezula is not Lachem, it's a mitzvah Babavera. Yevesha is not Hadar, so that's going to be Pasul. Shalashera v'shal irin idachas Pesula, as well, we already spoke about. If it's Arava that comes from an Asherah tree, a tree that was worshipped for Avodah Zarah, or from an irin idachas, which is when the whole town did Avodah Zarah, and we have to burn all their stuff. So both of these things are required to be burnt up, and since they are omei l'sreifa, since they are about to be burned, we can't consider them as chashuv in regards to helping you meet the necessary shiur for the aravas. Therefore, that's going to be pasul as well. And nektam rosha we had as well. If the top is chopped off, or nifritsu aleha, if the leaves fell off of the arava, the hatzafzafa, this is the unique halacha by aravos, the tzafzafa, which is a unique species of branch, which is not the same thing as the arava, as we're going to discuss the details in our Gemara, those are all pesula, you cannot use those for the arava. And then finally, kemusha, if it's slightly dried out, so if it's not fully dried out, it's just kemusha, vishanashru miktas aleha, if some of the leaves fell off, but not all of them, vishel ba'al, and if it's from a field, Rashi explains that ba'al is a type of field that doesn't have to be watered or irrigated, that the rain would suffice for such a field, so, but if it comes from a field, that would be kishera as well. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara begins. Arve nachal, the pasuk says, Arve Nachal, that they are branches that come from the Nachal, from the river. So Hagedilim ala Nachal, this means that the Aravos that we know about come from the river. Davar Acher, Arve Nachal, Sha'ala Shala, Mashuch Kenachal. Or an alternatively, the Pasuk tells us, Arve Nachal, to describe the leaves, that the leaves of the Arava are like a Nachal, they're like a river, they are elongated like ovals as opposed to a circle, as we are familiar with. So Nachal isn't describing the location where to find them, it's describing what the leaves look like. Tanya Idach, a third Breisa, Arve Nachal, Einli Ella Arve Nachal. Pasuk says, Arve Nachal, that the branches have to come from the Nachal. So all I know is if you get branches that came from that were near a water source, that were near a river, but shel ba'al, if it's from a field, v'shel har, if it's from a mountain, minayin, who says that those are kosher for arava? Taman lomar arve nachal. The pasuk says arve, which is plural, not just the ones that come by the nachal, but any aravos, as long as they meet the criteria that we're going to discuss on the next amud, mikol makom, any type of aravos are going to be kosher, even if it's from a field, even if it's from a mountain. Abba Shaul Omer, Abba Shaul has a different drasha of the pasuk Arve. Arve is plural lashon rabim that teaches us shtayim, two different mitzvos of arava. Achas lelulav, one is for the lulav dalminim that we shake in shul. You have to have aravos over there. But achas lemikdash, there's also a halacha of aravos by the mikdash, which we're going to discuss in the next parak, how they would circle the hamikdash with their aravos as well. So Arve plural isn't telling me that it's also allowed to be from a field or a mountain. It's telling us about the other halacha of the base hamikdash arava. The Rabbanan lemikdash binalahu. For the Rabbanan who darshaned Arve, the plural Arve, they darshaned that to tell me that you can use Aravos that came from the field or from the mountains. So how do they know that there's also a mitzvah of Arava in the Beis HaMikdash? Sigmara says, Hilchasa gemiri lehu, it's a halacha lemoshe misinai. The Amar of Asi, Amar of Yochanan, There are three halachah moshe mi-Sinai's in the following list. Number one, Esther Netios. Number two, Arava. Number three, Nisach Hamayim. Halachah moshe mi-Sinai. That these are three examples of halachah moshe mi-Sinai. Rashi says that we find that there are sometimes in Chazal where we just kind of like list, we group a bunch of halachah moshe mi-Sinai's together. Where we had our own earlier, Shiurin, Chatzitzin, Mechitzin, earlier in the Masechta. So these also, they were just taught in the base medrash together. There's nothing that links these in particular, but this is a list of halacha moshe mi-Sinai's that were taught in the base medrash. Number one, Esther Netios. Let's describe all these individually. Then number two, Arava. Number three, Nisach Hamayim. So Arava is referring to the Arava in the Beis HaMikdash. That's halacha moshe mi-Sinai. Therefore, you don't have to have a pasuk to tell me that Arve is plural to tell me the Beis HaMikdash. That's a direct halacha moshe mi-Sinai. What is Esther Netios? So Esther Netios means 10 saplings, 10 little plants that you planted. This is referring to a halacha about Shemitah, or specifically Tosefes Shemitah. Shemitah, we know that you can't work the land during the seventh year. There's also a halacha of Tosefes Shviyas, that also 30 days before Shemitah begins, you also are not allowed to work the land in that 30-day period. It's kind of like early Shabbos, the Gemara compares it to. You have to do Mosif Michol Al HaKodesh, so we start Shabbos a little early. So also we have rules about starting Shemitah a little early, 30 days earlier. Now, halacha moshe mi-Sinai is twofold. Number one, there's halacha moshe mi-Sinai, which is an exception to that rule. That yes, typically you can't plant during those 30 days of Tosefes Shviyas, but let's say you have a netia, a small little sapling, which is so weak, and if you don't work the land, it's just going to die. It isn't like I'm working it because I want my stuff to get better. It's not like a big tree that's like I'm just doing it just to help it get better. It's going to completely die out. It's going to completely dry out. It's so weak. So for that, the halacha moshe mi-Sinai says you're allowed to plow underneath that sapling. That's part one of the halacha moshe mi-Sinai. Part two is, well, let's say I have a field, and let's say this table is my field, and I have one little sapling over here. So that's going to be matir me to plow underneath this sapling, but I can't plow that side of the field. That's not helping this little sapling. It's maybe nourishing from up until my coffee, but it's not nourishing from all the way down there from that chair. So I can't plow the other half of my field. I can just plow by the sapling. And if I have two, let's say I have one over here, and I have one down there, so I can plow under here, I can plow under there, but I can't plow in the middle. Let's say I have four. Let's say I have five. At a certain point, presumably, at a certain point when I have, let's say, 10, say halacha moshe mi-Sinai, once I have 10 saplings spread out across my base sa'ah, it's a very specific measurement, a base sa'ah field, and the netios are spread out a certain different way, then we can assume that between all the different netios, they're all nourishing from some square foot of the field, and therefore I have a heter to plow my entire field. So that's Esther Netios, halacha moshe mi-Sinai, that's an exception to Tosefes Shviyas, but also that number 10, if you have 10 netios within a very specific measure, which Rashi explains the precise details of that measurement. If you have 10 saplings within a certain specified field, that would matter you to plow your entire field, because that entire plowing is going to help all the netios and prevent them from dying. That's number one. Number two is Arava, as we said, in Beis HaMikdash. And number three is Nisach HaMayim, that they would use water libations as well during the holiday of Sukkot. They would also pour water onto the Mizbeach in addition to the usual Nisa Chayayin, which we usually just pour wine on the Mizbeach, and Sukkot is the additional Nisach Hamayin. So this made me think about, not the Shemitah stuff, I don't have a lot to think about for Shemitah stuff, but we're just talking about Arvei Nachal. The Torah says, Arvei Nachal. Your Arevos have to come from the Nachal. Anyone here ever see, like, when they post on the bubble, like, whoever needs Arevos can come to my backyard and chop off your own Arevos? So is that, anybody do that? I've done that, I think, a couple of times. When I realized, like, Erev Sukkot, I didn't have any Arevos. Pasuk says, Arvei Nachal. The Pasuk says, your Arevos have to come from the river. What would be the heter? Why it doesn't have to be from, I don't have to go to a river, I could just go to somebody's backyard. Right? So what have we already seen that tells us that doesn't have to be from a river specifically? So we saw on the bottom of Alam Gimel Mebez, that bottom line, it said, the word Arvei is plural. That tells me, even Shel Baal, even someone's field, someone's backyard, for example. Even from someone's backyard is also going to be mutter, because Arve is plural, tells me not just from a nachal, but also from anywhere, from a field, from mountains, also going to be totally kosher. Tosfos, though, has a problem, because Tosfos say, if you look, as we're going to see later today, on Amadalat Amadvez, we already darshan the word Arve to teach us a different halakha that we definitely are all familiar with. The Gemara says on Amadalat Amadvez that Arve, plural Aravos, tells me Shtayim. We have to shake two Arevos, right? How many Hadassim, how many Arevos, how many Lulav, how many Esrog? That's all darshan on the next page of today's daf. And we learn from Arve, the plural Arve, you have to have two Arevos. Tosfos say, we definitely pass on like that one, We all know we use two aravos, so we use arve to tell me that you have to have two aravos. I don't have arve left over to also tell me that it's allowed to be from shel ba'al b'shel harim, that it can be from your backyard. So therefore, Tosfos say, very shocking, olafizeh on der maskel v'rabbanon lemikdash min alahu in the middle, lefizeh tzarech lizaher shelo litol arava lelolav ela im kain gedila al hanachal. You should only take an arava for your mitzvahs lolav if it came from a river. So I mean, according to Tosfos, you can't go to somebody's backyard. Pasuk says, Arve Nachal. Yes, you have a heter from the Gemara that you can do that, but that Gemara must assume you don't have, must not use the drasha of two aravos, but we do hold of two aravos, and therefore we would not have that drasha left over to allow you to take from somebody's backyard. So according to Tosfos, that would not be okay. The Rush, however, in the back of the Gemara, the Rush says, no. If you actually look at the very first line of the Gemara that we had today, the Gemara says, Arve Nachal Hagedilim al Hanachal. The very first Gemara on Gimel Amud Beis, we said that the Aravos are Hagedilim al Hanachal. The Rush says that is not defining where the Aravos must come from. Aravos need to come from the riverbank, and otherwise it's completely possible. That Manta Amar holds, that's just describing a good Eitzah, the place where you'll usually find Aravos. These Aravos, which we know it should look like this, and they have the leaves like that, those are typically found by a nachal, but lav davka. So the first man d'amar of the Gemara isn't saying it has to be by a nachal, it's saying that that's the place where you can usually find them, but if you find it in a backyard, that's also totally kosher. So the Rush says that it could be from backyard. Tosfos will say, definitely not. And I was wondering, like, is it like a b'diavad thing? Like, is it like not, should you try to buy them from the guy, someone in like a gas station as opposed to going to somebody's backyard? My father-in-law has in his backyard and he chops them off every single year. So Shulchan Aruch does not quote Tosfos Bechlal. Mishneh Berurah says there are some who say lechatchila, but doesn't even say tov lahachmir over here. It seems that halacha lamaisa, there isn't even a chumrah to say I'm dafka not going to get from my backyard. It's not in Shulchan Aruch. It's barely in Mishneh Berurah. The Bikura Yaakov does say if you literally are in shul and you have two sets of aravos and one was from the nachal and one, and I assume that the package ones are from the nachal. I have no idea, but I assume so. And one is from your backyard. So maybe then, when it's literally zero effort, maybe you may as well. But it's not since even a chumrah. We have a lot of chumras by Dalaminim. Does not seem like avoiding backyard aravos is a chumra to take on. That was my understanding.
Also, Pasek sometimes feels like a nachal.
Right. Yeah, that's a shame, nachal. My father-in-law has a pool, so maybe that could help. But, yeah.
Do you live on that corner house
in
Pennington, like where Howard turns? You're right next to that little...
Right, rock. Exactly. Yeah, and I don't know how close you got to be. But yeah. Okay, so that's backyard aravos. Tanu Rabbanan. So now five lines from the top. Lama Dalet Amud Aleph. Tana Rabbanan, Arve Nachal Hagedilos Al Hanachal Prat Letzafzafa Hagedila Bin Haharim. So aravos that are typically found by the Nachal, that's to exclude the Tzafzafa branch, which is a different species of branch, which is typically grown by the Harim, which we're going to describe what exactly the Tzafzafa is. Amr of Zera, Mikra, what's the pasuk that tells us that a tzafzafa is different than the arava, and it's a lower, a different, you know, not like it's a worse than a typical arava?
It probably looks like an arava.
It is. We're going to say it has like a, it has different, it has like circle leaves as opposed to the elongated leaves, different, you know, sharper edges as opposed to soft edges. We're going to describe the details later, but it's definitely different and it's definitely worse. What's the pasuk that tells us? What's the source? The pasuk says in Yechezkel, Kach al mayim rabim, you should take from the branch that comes from the Mayim Rabim, which is the reference to the Arava, but instead, Tzafzafa Samo. The Pasuk is a vague Pasuk. We're going to explain it in a second what that Pasuk is referring to, or what we darshan the Pasuk to refer to, but it seems like the Pasuk says that you should take Al Mayim Rabim, take an Arava which comes from the water, but then instead, Tzafzafa Samo. Instead, they took, or they placed a Tzafzafa branch. It sounds like Tzafzafa is different from the branch that comes from Al Mayim Rabim. Amalei Abaye says, what do you mean? The Dilma Perushe Kamafaresh. Maybe it's explaining, right? Kacha Mayim Rabim Umay Nihu Tzafzafa. Maybe it says, the Pasuk refers to an Arava as the, right, Al Mayim Rabim, the branch that comes from the water, and then it describes it as a Tzafzafa, right? I put the word in instead. It doesn't say, not take an Arava, but instead Tzafzafa. It just says Tzafzafa. So maybe it's describing an Arava. Maybe Tzafzafa is a description of Arava, and it does, it is the same species. Imkain my Samo. The Gemara responds, no. If so, then what does the word samo mean? The samo makes it sound like that tzafzafa samo, that instead of the arava, they placed a tzafzafa instead The word samo implies that it's a different species, and not just explaining the Almayim Rabbim branch. But what exactly is this referring to? So Amar Rabbi Avo, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, Ani Amarti Sheyehu Yisrael Lefanai Kekach Almayim Rabbim. I said, and I set up, that Bnei Yisrael should be before me like a Almayim Rabbim, like a Arava branch that comes from the water. Umaynihu arava the hain instead hain samu atman kitzafzafa shebaharim, and instead they made themselves like a tzafzafa shebaharim, which is a lower quality branch, a worse branch. So it's talking bad about Klal Yisrael. The Hashem is saying that I set you up to be an arava, which is associated with water, which Marsha says in Mayim Torah, so we're supposed to be great people, but instead. We were instead like a tzatzifa, which is a lower quality branch. So it's definitely referring to a different type of branch, which is not an arava. And the same shakta v'tari we just had is rephrased just for fun. Ikad amasni la lahaikra amasnisa. So some say that pasuk we just quoted wasn't an afterthought. It was actually directly in our Mishnah that explaining that tzatzifa is not okay. Kach amayim rabim tzatzifa samo. The pasuk tells us that tzatzifa is different than an arava. And then maskifla Rabzera then asks, it's a different order of who's asking the question. V'dilma perushe kamefaresh kach amayim rabim mainihu tzatzifa. Maybe it's explaining that tzatzifa is an example or a description of amayim rabim imkain my samo. And then the Gemara responds, if so, what's the word samo telling us? It sounds like the word samo is implying that Tzatzifa samo was different than kach amayim rabim. And then again, Amar b'yavo, Amar kodesh baruch hu, Ani amarti sheyehu Yisrael lefanai kekach amayim rabim, o mainihu arava. Hashem says, I set up Klal Yisrael to be like an arava by the water. Behem samo atman kitzatzifa shebaharim, and instead they made themselves like a tzatzifa shebaharim. So that's the pasuk which tells us that a tzatzifa is different than an arava. So what exactly is a tzatzifa, and what exactly is an arava? What exactly are the criteria that make something an arava, and what makes something a tzatzifa, which is puzzle?
If you change the kuya, tzatzifa shemo. His name is,
that is a very compelling, it's very funny. L'chor, we know the nikudos from Moshe Mitzrayim. Tana Rabbanan, Ezehu Arava ve'Ezehu Tzatzifa. What's an Arava? What's a Tzatzifa? We're going to explain there are three criteria what makes something an Arava, one of which is flexible, but the two other ones are hard criteria, and we list them. Arava Kanashala Edom. The stem of the Arava is red. People, I can't remember. Are Arava stems, they look red? Is it like brown? Is it green? Anybody know? It's like reddish? They're like reddish, right? So it has to be red. Mishnah Berurah says that it could, or the Ramah says it could even be green. So I wasn't sure, like, did they actually look green? But anyway, if it has to be red, that point's going to be not white. So it has to be a reddish stem. V'ala shela mashuch, and the leaves just have to be elongated, like an oval, as we said. U'piha chalak, and the edges of the leaf have to be soft. They can't be sharp. That third one is not a hard criteria, but the first two are. It has to be a red stem, and it has to be that the leaves are oval. Tzatzifa, however, the tzatzifa, which is no good, kanashala lavan, has a white stem, the alashala egol, and the leaves are circles instead of ovals, upiha doma lemagal, and it's the edges of the leaves are like a sickle, that they have sharp edges, and that's a simen that you have a tzatzifa, which is not good for the mitzvah, and the arava has the opposite of all those simonim. Like Mara asks, is it true that having sharp edges is actually a problem? V'hatanya doma lamagal kasher. If the leaves' edges are like a magal, like a sickle, that's going to be kasher. But doma lamasar puzzle. If it's like a saw, then it's going to be puzzle. What's the difference between a sickle and a saw? So I never use a sickle my entire life. But apparently, the leaves of this, the sharp edges of the sickle.
Sickle is smooth.
So the sickle, right, it's like a one-directional sharpness. So the leaves, the sharpness of the edges are like towards one direction. So if you put your finger one way, it wouldn't get cut. But the other way would hurt a lot. But by a saw, that you can use a saw, use it back and forth, right? The sharpness is straight, so it is sharp in both directions, as opposed to the sickle where it's kind of curving in towards one of the directions. So we just said that, it's tzatzifa, that's like a sickle, that the sharpness is curved in, that's a problem. But it says in a braisa, someone lamagal, it's actually kasher. That if it's like a sickle, it's kasher. Only if it's like a saw is it puzzle. So what's going on? Is it true that having a sharpness like a magal is kosher? Amar Abaye Kitanya Hahi Bechilfa Gila. Abaye says, actually, there is a type of arava which is kosher for arava because it has the other two criteria. It has oval leaves and it has a red stem, but it has a sharp edge, but it's like a sickle, not like a saw. That we say is going to be kosher. That's the Chilfa Gila. Chilfa is another word for arava, as we're going to see in a second. And Gila is like the, I guess, where it came from, or it's like a descriptor. The Chilfa Gila is a kosher type of arava because it has two out of the three, and it happens to also have the sharpness on the edges, but it's like a sickle. That's going to be kosher. But its Tzatzifa has all three bad simanim. It's white and it has circle leaves and it has the sharpness. That's going to be a problem. Chilfa Gila, which has two out of three, but it has sharpness like a sickle, that's going to be kosher. Amar Abaye, Shma Mina, Hai Chilfa Gila, kosher le'oshana. Therefore, it seems that this Chilfa Gila type of arava is kosher for your daliminim, which you're going to be shaking in shul. The Gemara says, Pshita, obviously, we just described that it has, you know, the simanim that make it okay. So the Gemara says, no, I would have thought it's a problem. Because Ma'u Detema, Hol Ve'isle, Shem Levai, since it has an accompanying name, it has like a descriptor name. It isn't just the arava, it's the gila arava. So maybe lonis kasher, maybe it's not going to be kasher for arava, because arava has to be a stam arava. We had this earlier also. It can't have any descriptor names attached to it, Kamash Malan, that it's actually going to be kasher, despite the fact that it has a Shem Levi, an accompanying name in its description. Ve'ema hachanami, maybe in hachanami it should be a problem because it has a Shem Levi. Mara says no, arve nachal amar akmana mikol makom, since arve nachal is a broad term, that comes to include even things that have a Shem Levi. So we have our three descriptions of what is a kasher arava. It has to have a red stem, it has to have elongated leaves, and it has to be soft. And we said that there is a type of species which has some sharpness to the leaves, and that's going to be okay. That's the Chilfa Gila. Amar Rav Chisda, Hani Tlas Mili Ishtani Shamayu Michichara Vesa Mikdash. Rav Chisda said that there are three things where the words that we used for them changed after Churban Beis HaMikdash. So we used to always refer to something one way, and we said, actually, now we're going to refer to that. We're going to call A, B, and we're going to call B, A. So for example, the Gemara says, number one, Chalafta, Aravta, Aravta, Chalafta. We have these two different types of branches. We have the Arava, which we know is a Arava, and Chalafta is, Rashi is the lesson of a Tzafzifa. So we actually change what we call each of those things. We now call a Chalafta an Arava, so that Tzafzifa goes by the Arava name, and Aravta, Chalafta. We call our Aravos Chalafta, which is what we used to refer to as a Tzafzifa. So that's very confusing. We used to always say Aravas are good and Tzafzifa is no good. And minor detail, we actually swapped what word means what. Now arava means bad and tzatzifa means good. So that's very important. So the mina afkamina, what's an afkamina? That we changed what each word refers to. Lulav. Obviously, you have to know what's a kosher lulav. If you go and you ask for an arava, be aware that people call an arava what is actually not kosher, what's actually a tzatzifa. A second example is shipura chatzotzarta, chatzotzarta shipura. So there's a shofar and a chatzotzros, right? A shofar is a curved shofar from a ram. That's what we use for Rosh Hashanah. And a chatzotzros is a straight horn, a trumpet, which is obviously not kosher for Rosh Hashanah. And we actually swapped what each of those things refer to. We used to refer to a kosher one as a shipura, and now we refer to the kosher one as a chotzarta, chatzotzarta. And we used to refer to the chatzotzarta as a chatzotzarta, and now we actually call that a shofar. So that's very important to know that we actually changed what we call each of these things in the Ma'anaf Kamina, the shofar Rosh Hashanah. It's very important to know what you're referring to, because for Rosh Hashanah, only a shofar is kosher. So you have to know that they stopped calling the shofar a shofar, and they actually call it a chatzotzarta. Now, second example. And the third example is pasorta, pasora, pasora, pasorta. So pasorta used to refer to a small table, and pasora used to refer to a big table. And we switched, so now small means big, and the word we used to use for a big table now means a small table. L'may nafkamina, who cares whether we use a word that means a big table or a small table? Nafkamina is l'mekach l'memkar. If you go to the store and you ask for a pasora and you get a small table, so you have to be aware that we change what we call things now, and the word that used to mean small table now means big table, and that's important for transactions. There are three words that changed since the Churban, and we add a couple of other examples as well. Amar Abaye, Af Ani Omer, Bekasi Huvlila, Huvlila Bekasi. These are two different parts of the stomach of an animal that the description that we used to use for one actually got swapped with the description of a different part of the stomach of the animal, and Who cares? It's important to know it's a halacha for trefos, to know if something is considered a trefa or not. Let's say you were shechting an animal and you found a nail that was in the stomach of the animal. So there's one part of the stomach called the beis hakosos, which has a very thick membrane, I guess. And so if you find a nail that is going through that part of the stomach but did not come out the other side, that's going to be totally fine, not a trefa. If it goes through the whole way, that's definitely no good. If it does not go through if it goes in one end but not out the other end, that's kosher only for a bekasi, only for the beis hakosos, because that part of the stomach has a much more thicker wall, and therefore we can assume that there has not been any puncture that would create any problems. But other parts of the stomach of the animal, like the huvlila, that's still a problem. I don't care if it didn't come out the other side. The fact that there's a nail in here is going to passel it if it's the huvlila part of the stomach. So you have to realize that we started calling the bekasi the huvlila, and the huvlila is now called the bekasi because there's a very important difference in terms of hilchos trefos. If you find a nail that did not go through the other end, is only okay for one of the two. So you have to realize what part of the stomach we're talking about, and therefore it's an important nafka mina to realize that we change the description that we use for each of those words. And then the last example, Amar Rava Bar Yosef, Af Ani Omer Bavel Borsif, Borsif Bavel. So the town, the country, Bavel, is now referred to as Borsif, and the place Borsif is now referred to as Bavel. So we changed what word is, you know, describes the different geographical locations. L'may nafka mina, who cares? L'gite nashim. It's important if you're ever writing a get. So I would have thought what Rashi says in Shabbos, which Tosfos quotes, Rashi says in Shabbos, because when you're writing a get, you have to know where you are. So you have to write down the location of where the get is being written. And so if the place isn't called Bavel anymore, then you have to realize you have to write down Borsif. And if you're writing it in Borsif, oh, but now Borsif is called Bavel, you have to write down Bavel in the get. That's what Rashi explains in Masechta Shabbos. And Tosfos is not a fan of that pshat. Tosfos say, we don't write the Shem HaMedina in the get. You write the Shem HaIr, the name of the city, but not the name of the country. And Bavel, which is a Medina, wouldn't have a nafkamina in terms of the text of the get. So what exactly is the nafkamina if it's not about what to write in the get? So there is a halacha in the very beginning, very, very beginning of Maseches Gittin. If you ever learned daf beis of Maseches Gittin, it discusses the concept of Befanai Nechtav or Befanai Nechtam. Let's say somebody asks you to transport a get from one location to another. That's totally fine. You become the shaliach leholacha to transport the get. It's as if the husband is giving the get directly to the wife. However, the Gemara clarifies that if you're going to carry, the Gemara's example is from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, if you're going to be transporting a get from America to Israel, then the shaliach has to specify befanai nechtav, the get was written in front of me, and befanai nechtam, the get was also signed in front of me. He has to specify that he was there when the get was written and when the get was signed. Why is that necessary? So the Gemara says that in Chutz La'aretz, people don't know halachos so much, unfortunately. So there's a halacha that the get has to be written lishma. You have to write this get specifically for this couple. You have to write it all on a fancy klaf. It has to be written specifically for this divorce. And people in Chutz La'aretz don't know that. So you have to have the shaliach who brings the get to Eretz Yisrael. He has to say, I was there, b'fanai nechtav. It was written in front of me, and I saw that this get was written lishma. So since in Chutz La'aretz there's a concern that they don't write it lishma, so the shliach has to say, nope, I saw, it was actually written lishma. He has to say, b'fanai nechtav. The other concern is that maybe we're going to find a problem with the get. So maybe when the get gets to Eretz Yisrael, we're going to say, oh, these signatures don't look so clean, don't look so smooth. Can we get the Edom to come and tell us that this is actually their signature? The problem is, the Edom are in America. That's a very big schlep, and back then they weren't coming so often from America. They weren't coming so often from outside of Eretz Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. So, therefore, the Shaliach has to say, b'fanai nechtam. No, I saw who signed these signatures, and so if you find a problem with the signatures, I could tell you, I'm the Shaliach, I saw that they signed it, I can be mekayim the signatures on the shtar. That's the halacha, b'fanai nechtav, or b'fanai nechtam. But there is an exception. You're asking, why is this relevant to us? The exception is from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. If someone sends a get from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, you do not have to say b'fanai nechtav b'fanai nechtam, because number one, Bavel knows halacha. They know that it has to be written l'shma, so you don't have to specify this was written appropriately. They're in Bavel. They wrote a whole Talmud. They know the halachas of Gittin, so therefore they don't need the b'fanai nechtav. And also, people travel often from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael for their yeshivas. We find that in the Gemara all the time. People traveling from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael and back and forth. So if you find a problem with the Edim on the Shtar, you're not going to be waiting forever for someone to come to Eretz Yisrael. People come all the time from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, we don't have to say Bafanai Nechta, but Bafanai Nechtam, that it was written and signed in front of me, the Shaliach, when it comes to Bavel. And that's why our Gemara says, I have to know what's Bavel and what's Borsif, because this heter of the not needing to say Bafanai Nechtam is only true by Bavel, not by Borsif. And so if these locations change names, it's important for that halacha. So that is the final example of the names of things that switched post Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Now we have finished going through all the four minim, and we did the Aravos. Now that was the last. Now we're going to have Esrog later on the bottom Mishnah. But now we're going to discuss the number of each of the minim. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Shlosha Hadasim, you have to have three Hadasim, Vishtei Aravos, you have to have two Aravos, Lolav Echad, one Lolav, V'Esrog Echad, and one Esrog. Then the Mishnah continues to describe the hadasim, that the hadasim afilu shenayim ketumim ve'echad eino katum. By the hadasim, it's actually okay if two out of your three hadasim are katum. We had this before a lot of times. Nekta means that the top is sliced off. That's okay if two of your hadasim are cut off, as long as you have one that is eino katum. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Afilu Shloshdan Ketumin. Rabbi Tarfon says, even if all three of your hadasim are cut off at the top, that's totally fine. Rabbi Tarfon says, I don't care if they're cut at the top, if they are nektam at the top. I don't require hadar hadasim. So you need to have three, but it can be chopped off on the top, and that's going to be totally okay. Rabbi Akiva Omer, even he's mekel, Kishem Shalola Bechad, Ve'esrog Echad, Kach Hadas Echad, Ve'arava Achas. Rabbi Akiva says that Hadasim and Aravos, you only need one. Just like your Lolav is one Lolav, and you have one Esrog, so too Rabbi Akiva says, only need one Hadas, only need one Arava. That's a machlokas. How many Aravos and Hadasim do you need? Rabbi Akiva says one. Rabbi Tarfon says you have to have three Hadasim and two Aravos. As a machlokas, about if your Hadasim are chopped off at the top, do we care about that or do we not care about that? Tanya Rabbi Yishmael Omer, what's the source of these numbers? Where they come from? So Rabbi Yishmael says, pre-eitz Hadar Achad. The pasuk says a pre, it's one Esrog, one pre, one fruit. Kapos Tamarim Achad, because it's written, it's pronounced kapos, but it's written kapas tamarim. Therefore, it's singular in its written form. Therefore, you need to have one lulav. Anaf eitz avos is shlosha. There's three words. Anaf is one, eitz is two, avos is three. Therefore, you have to have three hadasim. And arve nachal is shtayim. Aravos, as we said, is plural, as what I was referring to before. The Mar Darshins, that since arve nachal is plural aravos, plural, the minimum amount that plural can mean is two aravos. And therefore, you have to have two aravos, three hadasim, one lulav, one esrog. Has anyone ever seen that people add extra hadasim, extra aravos?
Yeah, they have people a whole have bunch. That minhag. Yeah,
people. Right, yeah, chassidim have a minhag to add extra stuff. Tosfos over here point out that's totally fine. Tosfos in Gemara Maskil Arve Nachal Shtayim Afilu Nosein Kama Hadasim the Kama Aravos Belolav Ein Zeh Bal Tosif. Tosfos said you could add extra hadasim, you can add extra aravos, and there's no problem of Bal Tosif. Unless you add a different min. If you add a different type of branch altogether, that's going to be Baal Tosif. It's similar to how Tosfos hold that to do a mitzvah multiple times is not considered Baal Tosif. To add an additional element to the mitzvah, that's what's a problem of Baal Tosif. So Tosfos seems like it's totally fine to add extra stuff. The Rambam describes it as not a problem of Baal Tosif because you're adding it lenoy. You're adding it to beautify the mitzvah. So it's not a problem of Baal Tosif because it has a purpose for adding to the hiddur of the mitzvah. Shulchan Aruch does paskin like these shitos, so you can add hadasim and aravos, and there are some who prefer maybe only adding hadasim, some posts can say only aravos. Shulchan Aruch says that bluntly, that you could, blanketly, you can add hadasim and aravos, but there is a those who are medactic to dafka not add them. Mishnah Berurah says maybe it's like these inyanim al pi kabbalah, but luckily speaking, we have Tosfos and the Rambam and other Rishonim that allow us to add extra, and there's no concern of Baal Tosif.
Can you say for noi? Can you say once possible?
So there's a shayla about hadasim that are if you have pasul hadasim, if you have a hadas shota, which we described earlier, hadasim have the extra requirement that it has to be mishulash. You have to have that the three leaves that come out from each cluster of leaves has to be exactly lined up or pretty much lined up. And if one of those is not, so that could create a pasul if you don't have the appropriate shear. There's a question, can you add a pasul hadas to your set? It's a machlokas in the Gaonim, which the Rush quotes in the back. And what's the shayla? The shayla is like a landish hakira. When you have a pasul hadas, is that a hadas but it's pasul, or is it not even a pasul? Is it not even a hadas bechlal? Is it a different min altogether? If this branch grew off a tree, but it wasn't mishulash, is mishulash a criteria for us to look for to define a hadas? Or is mishulash just, no, it's definitely a hadas branch, but to be a kosher hadas branch, it has to have the criteria to be kosher. So that's a machlokas. If you have a bad hadas, maybe if the leaves fell off also, maybe not. But if it grew like that, where it wasn't mishulash all the way up, that's a machlokas, which the Shulchan Aruch points out that some say that you shouldn't be adding pasul hadasim, because that might be a separate min, that Tosafot says is definitely a problem about Tosafot. But yeah, great question. So that was the number of each of them. And the Gemara now continues three lines down in the Gemara. Va'afilu shenayim ketumim ve'echad she'eno katum. Even if, this is the Shita Rabbi Yishmael, that if you have three adasim, it's okay if two of them are cut at the top. Ve'echad she'eno katum. Rabbi Tarfon omer shloshav va'afilu shloshdan ketumim. Rabbi Tarfon says, no, you have to have three adasim, but I don't care if they're cut at the top. Being cut at the top is totally kosher for a hadas. And Rikiva Omer, Kishem Shalola Vachad, Vasar Gachad, Kach Hadas Echad, Arava Achas. As we said in our Mishnah, Rikiva holds you can have only one hadas and one arava, and that is totally kosher. Mara asks, Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer, Yachol Yehei Esrog Imahen Ba'aguta Achas. Maybe when you bind your Dalaminim, maybe your Esrog shouldn't be separate outside the bundle. Maybe you should actually bundle the Esrog together with the other minim, just like you have your lola with your hadas and aravos all together in that bundle structure. So Mara says, no, amret v'chi ne'mar pri'etz hadar v'kapos tamarim. Does the pasuk actually have a vav which links the esrog to the lola v'naras and aravos? No, v'halolo ne'mar ella kapos, without the vav. It says pri'etz hadar, which is like its own thing, and then it says kapos tamarim v'anafetz avos v'arvin achal. There's a vav linking the lola and the hadasim and the aravos, but there's no vav by the esrog, and so therefore the esrog is separate from the bundle. The other ones are all bundled together. How do you know that if you are missing one of the four minim, that it is, you're not yotze? If you don't have an esrog, you don't say, I'll just take the other three for kicks. Nope, that's puzzle. Tamadomar ulakachtem shetehe lekicha tama. Ulakachtem could be darshan ulakach tam. Your lekicha has to be tama, it has to be a complete lekicha, and if you're missing any of the four minim, you would not be yotze. What would you think? I was surprised by this, maybe it's giving it away. What would you think if somebody went over to you and said, oh, I shook dalad minim, I shook my lolov, put it down, shook my hadas, put it down, shook my rabba, put it down, shook my ezra, put it down. What would you say? Is that guy yotze or not yotze? But if, should he shake again and make a bracha again? I would have thought, of course, you're an idiot. That's totally not the mitzvah. You're definitely not yotze the mitzvah. And the Tosos over here, Shetehe L'kicha Tama, say that, of course, you're not Yotze. Rabbeinu Tam says, L'kicha Tama means you have to shake them all together. You can't shake them Bezeh Achar Zeh. That's a Shita of Tosos, like I would have thought. But Tosos also quote from the Baal Achas Gedolos that, no, you are Yotze. If you shake one after the other, you can say a bracha of Anatidas Lolov and have them all in front of you, shake Lolov, and then one after the other, and still be Yotze the mitzvah. Shulchan Aruch Paskins that you are Yotze, which I thought was wild. It doesn't happen often. Hopefully it shouldn't happen often. But that would happen if you have them all in front of you, you say the bracha and shake one after the other, you would still be yotze. Rama says you shouldn't. Make sure you don't talk in between each of the shakings. But Shofnar Paskins, like the Bahag and the Rambam and the Rif, also Paskin like that Bahag, that you are actually allowed to. Lekicha Tama means, as we said, you have to have all four. You can't be missing one of them, but you can actually shake them one after the other and be totally yotze the mitzvah. So that is Lekicha Tama. The Gemara asks, Rabbi Yishmael, Manavshach. Rabbi Yishmael has a very confusing shita. Rabbi Yishmael says, you have to have three hadasim, but if two of them are cut off, that's totally okay. So that's very strange. But Manavshach, does Rabbi Yehuda care about ketumin, or does he not care about ketumin? Is it a problem to have the top of your hadas cut off? Ish shalemin ba'i, li ba'i nami kulu. If he requires it, it has to be shalem, it can't be chopped off at the top, then they should have to have all three shalem, and not chopped off at the top. And ilo ba'i shalemin, if he does not require them to be complete and they can be cut them at the top, then afilu chad na milo, then even if one of them is not shalem, it should be okay. Why does he say that you need to have three adasim, but two, and it's okay if two of them are cut them at the top, but one has to be shalem?
If Katam is a problem, and if two of them are cut off, you only have one Arava. And if Katam isn't a problem, then let them all three of them be Katam at the top. And that should be totally okay. It seems to be contradicting himself. So the Gemara says, Amar Bira, Amar of Ami, Chazerbo Rabbi Yishmol, Enech Nami, Rabbi Yishmol was Chazerbo. Meaning, he only requires one Arava, and Katam is a problem. And so when he says that if two are Katam, and one is not, that you're Yotze, that's because Katam is as if it's not even there. Your chopped off Hadasim are totally no good, but you still have one, and that's great, because Rabbi Yishmol, although he began saying you have to have three Hadasim, he was Chazerbo, he only requires one Hadas. And so therefore, if you have 10 Hadasim, and they all get chopped off except for one, you have your one, and that's okay, because Rabbi Yishmol now holds you only need one hadas. But that's not how we paskin. As we said, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, halacha ki Rabbi Tarfon. We paskin like Rabbi Tarfon, who requires three hadasim and does not care if they are katam at the top, that it's okay if they are chopped off at the top. The Azda Shmuel Letame, and the Gemara explains that Shmuel, who does Paskin like Rabbi Tarfon, is actually Lishitaso, from the following story. To Amalahu Shmuel Lahanu Demizavne Asa. Shmuel was talking to the guys who sell the Hadassim, the guys at the gas station on the sidewalk who are selling their Hadassim, and he approached them and said, Ashvu va'azvinu, sell it to me for the appropriate price of what these Hadassim actually cost. Of course, they were hiking up the prices because it was almost Sukkot, and therefore they can afford to raise their prices and still make a profit, and people are still going to buy from them. So Shmuel went over to them and said, you better lower your prices. And if not, and he threatened them, ve'i lo, if you don't lower your prices to the appropriate price, then darishna lechu k'Rabbi Tarfon. I'm going to publicize to everybody that the halacha is like Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon, we just said, doesn't care if the top is chopped off. That's going to hurt their business. They can sell for very high prices because everyone says I have to have a shalem. It can't be chopped off at the top. So they go to these sellers to buy their shalem hadasim. And so Shmuel says, I'm going to tell everybody that the halacha is like Rabbi Tarfon, that it's actually kosher if the top is cut off. That's going to ruin your business. That was his threat to them. You better lower your prices, otherwise I'm going to publicize Rabbi Tarfon. So the Gemara assumes, why would he threaten like Rabbi Tarfon? It must be. He holds like Rabbi Tarfon. Would he possibly threaten to publicize a sheet that he actually does not paskin like? That would be crazy. It must be that he actually holds like Rabbi Tarfon, otherwise he wouldn't have threatened with the sheet of Rabbi Tarfon. The Gemara says no. Gemara explains it. My taima, why do you say this such a threat? If he just maybe you'll say he doesn't hold like Rabbi Tarfon, but he picked the most mekel shita of our Mishnah. That's like the best threat, is to say I'm going to pick out the biggest kula in the Mishnah. Maybe not because he passes like Rabbi Tarfon, but because that's the biggest mekel in our Mishnah, and that's the best threat that he could offer. But if that was really the case, religiously Rabbi Akiva, the Mekel Tve. There are more Mekel Shitos in our Mishnah, because Rabbi Akiva holds you only need one Hadas. So if you're looking for the most Mekel Shita, for the best threat out there, he should have said Rabbi Akiva. Why not? Why pick Rabbi Tarfon? He's going to publicize Rabbi Tarfon's Shita? It must be because he holds like Rabbi Tarfon. Agari says no. Actually, maybe he has not held like Rabbi Tarfon, and Rabbi Tarfon is actually the most Mekel Shita in our Mishnah. How? He requires three, Rabbi Akiva requires one, but still, Tlasa Ketumi Shechichi. To have three Hadasim that are Katum is actually not so hard to find. To find three Hadasim that are cut off at the top is actually easy to find, but Chad Velo Katum Lo Shechiach. If you require one Hadas, but that one Hadas has to be Shalem, it can't be chopped off at the top, that's actually harder to find. And therefore, the most Mekel Shita in our Mishnah is Rabbi Tarfon. And so you can't say from the fact that he threatened with Rabbi Tarfon Shita, it must be he passes like Rabbi Tarfon. No, maybe he just picked the most Mekel Shita in our Mishnah, not because he actually paskins like that Shita. Very interesting story. I think we have time to do this Mishnah, and we're going to discuss, most of the details are going to be discussed in the actual Gemara next week, but we'll just do the introduction with the Mishnah on the bottom of the Lamedalim Beis. The Mishnah now talks about the Esrog, which is the last of the Dalaminim. Esrog HaGazel, the Hayavesh Pasul, a stolen Esrog and a dried out Esrog is all Pasul, as we said. It's not Hadar, it's the Mitzvah Pavavira, it's not Shalachem. Shalashir Vishal Nidachas Pasul, from an Asherah tree, from an Ir Nidachas is Pasul, Ketuse Mechtas Shiure. Shal Arla Pasul, this is unique to Esrog because this is a fruit. Shal Arla is Pasul, if it's from the first 3 years of the tree's growth, that's going to be pasul. The Gemara is going to explain. Shel truma temeya pasul. If it's from truma that became tame, that esrog is also going to be pasul. The Gemara is going to explain. And shel truma tehora lo yitol. If it's a truma esrog, but it was tahor, so you shouldn't lechatchila v'im natal kasher. If you did, that would be kasher, and you would be yotze.
Shel Demai, let's say there's a suffix whether the appropriate Chumas Ma'asos were taken off from that Esrog tree. So Bez Machlokes, Bez Shammai Poslin, U Bez Hillel, Machshirin. Shel Ma'aser Sheni, Be Yerushalayim. Let's say it's from Ma'aser Sheni, which you're allowed to eat, but you have to eat it in Yerushalayim. So you're in Yerushalayim. So Lo Yito, you shouldn't take it Lachatchila. They am not a kosher. If you did, that's going to be kosher. Also, chazazis arubo, if there is a blister on your esrog and it covers majority of the esrog, nutla pitmaso, or if the pitum fell off, or niklof if the esrog was peeled, or nistak if the esrog was cracked, or nikave v'chaser kolshehu, there's a hole in your esrog and it actually removed part of the esrog, that's going to be puzzle. But also chazazis al miyuto, if the blister is only on a miyut of the esrog, or natal okto, if not the pitum but the other side fell off, or nike velo chaser kol shehu, there's a hole like a needle went through your esrog, but it wasn't actually taking off any part of the esrog, it's not chaser, that's all going to be kosher. And so final halachos, which we actually had earlier as well, esrog kushi pasul, if they have a black esrog that's pasul, the hayarok karti, a green esrog like a leek, Rav Meir Machshir, Rav Yehuda pasul, machlokas whether that's kusher or pasul, and then the shear for an esrog, how big or small it can be or has to be, shear esrog katan, Rav Meir Omer ke'egos, the small size for a shear for an esrog, how small it can be, it's like a egos, Rav Yehuda Omer kebetza, it has to be bigger like a kebetza, ubegadol, how big can it be, kedeshi yochas shnayim beyado achasir, Rav Yehuda Shita is that if it has to be able to hold two of them in one hand, Rabbi Yossi Omer Afilu Echa B'Shtei Yadav, versus no, even if it's a really big esrog and you need two hands to hold it, that's actually still going to be kosher. So today we spoke mostly about the aravos. We discussed whether aravos can come from your backyard or it has to be dafka from a nachal. We discussed the tzatzafa branch, which is not an arava and therefore would be possible. You would not be yotze with that. We discussed the three criteria of what an arava is. It has to have elongated leaves, it has to have a red stem, it has to be smooth on the edges. We discussed some things which changed names over time, and we discussed at the end the number of the hadasim and arevos that you have to have, and having a lakicha tama, and if the story of Shmuel about threatening to lower the price, to get them to lower the prices. Shkoyach.